Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. These are the words with which the Apostle Peter ended his defense when he was called into court to answer for preaching in public. We are reading in the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, and this was the 12th verse that I read to you. In the first part here of the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, we are reading about what happened after Peter and John had been talking to the crowd in the temple about the healing of the lame man. And when the people wanted to know what ever happened that this lame man had been healed, Peter urged upon them. You remember Peter asked them, "Why are you looking so earnestly at us? Do you think that we're the ones that did it? Do you think that we had the power, the strength, or that our holiness made this man well?" Then he went on and told them that God had made that same Jesus whom they crucified both Lord and Christ. And he was in heaven now, and had by his power he had accomplished this, that the healing of the lame man was actually the work of the living Lord. While the people were around listening to this, people got more and more interested, and I'm sure they got excited about this matter and wondered about it. Peter and John kept telling them, "The power that was exercised in the healing of this man is the power of the living Lord Jesus Christ, and we're his witnesses. He's alive." Well, that was new material. These people were listening. And then these disciples would go on and say, "And just the way he's alive, you'll be alive. There's more to the world than this world. There's more to life than what you see. There's another world. Heaven is real. God is real. And you and I are going from here to there. We'll be in his presence. And he can affect us right here and now." This is the way they were teaching. And then you will recall that the leaders, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the soldiers, came and arrested Peter and John, put them in prison, kept them in jail overnight, the next morning brought them into court, asked them point blank, "Who gave you the right to do this? By what power, by what authority, by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stepped up and told them, "You want to know how this thing happened? I'll tell you how this thing happened. Jesus of Nazareth, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Now, he was talking to people who had rejected Jesus of Nazareth. He was talking to people who had agreed with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he's standing right there before them, and he finishes his testimony with these words that I read to you. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, there's an important word in this statement that I've read to you, and that's the word "saved." I hope that that word is meaningful to each one of us. The word "saved" has a great deal in it. I expect one of the first things that the word "saved" always meant to me was it meant I wouldn't be finally destroyed. And if you want to put it very plainly, I'll put it just exactly the way I understood it. It meant that I was not going to hell. And instead of going to hell, I would be taken to heaven. And that's what being saved meant. Later on, as I came to thinking more about it and understanding more about it, I saw that that was true. But in addition to that, this was true. I would be forgiven the guilt of my sin. I would not be living under the doom or under the gloom of being counting myself as a sinner in the sight of God. I would be a forgiven sinner. And still later on I found out that through this work of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for me and being raised from the dead, I could be delivered from the bondage of sin. I could actually expect in myself a change to take place, that there would be a change take place in me similar to the change that took place in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when he had been crucified. You'll remember his body was broken. When he was crucified, he had been counted dead. His side had been thrust into with a spear. You will recall how he was considered to be really dead. But the power of God raised him from the dead, and that which had been dead he quickened, made it alive, so that he could live again. And just the way that happened to him is the way it would happen to me. And so, when you're speaking about being saved, you're thinking actually of being changed from the flesh into the spirit, from that which is natural into that which is spiritual, changed from the kind of person who is thinking largely of this world into the kind of person who is thinking of the world to come. And this is included in what it means to be saved. In later years, not so long ago, I have been impressed by the fact that if you look at the noun salvation, you'll see there's an L in there. You see the way it's spelled? S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. And when you look at the word saved, the L isn't there. It's S-A-V-E. That's what you speak about being saved. And the more I think about it, the more I'm persuaded that you could put the L back in there for some further understanding of it. In other words, being saved includes being salved, you know, to be healed. Remember, that's what the Bible teaches. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases. But so that in being saved, there is also the matter of being healed. Much more could be said. I just wanted to get across to you the idea that everything you think of the work of Christ, all that comes to you because you're a Christian, is in the word salvation and in the word save. Neither is there salvation in any other. In other words, God's great work of redeeming and delivering and changing and bringing to life again, raising from the dead, this great work will not be done in any other name than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men. That is, there's no other way of getting this done. There's no other procedure to follow whereby we must be saved. This was Peter's testimony. Now let us read on in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, you see, these men were unafraid. They stood right up to the courtroom. They stood right up in the prisoner's docket, so to speak, in the prisoner's bar. They faced the judge. They told him right straight out without any question, be it known unto you, this is the way it is, through Jesus Christ. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, those words are a little bit strong, the way they're pressed out in the English. When it says they perceived, it means they understood, they saw, that they were unlearned. Now, that would mean largely, shall I say, unschooled. They hadn't been to university. They were not educated men. And ignorant means they were not informed, not well-read men. They were not sophisticated in the form of intellectual language. They talked simple talk. And when they perceived, when they noticed that these men were uneducated, and common people in their language, using the common language of the street, they marveled. You know, it's always an astonishing thing when you have anybody talking about his spiritual experience in everyday language. Yeah, I sometimes think when we go to church or go to Sunday school or listen to a man pray, and the words that are used are the standard words that are to be found in religious talk, they can be very meaningful. I wouldn't want to say that they're not real to the person that's using them. But as one who listens in, I can tell you that it's more or less what you expect, and you let it go by for that. But if you have someone in there who talks about these things in everyday language, it gives an entirely different view. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I know that this could mean that they took knowledge of them, which means they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. That could mean that they belonged to the company of those who were with him for 3 years, and that they'd associated with him, and that this would be the source of their confidence. But I'm going to suggest to you that that is perhaps not the best way to understand this. Let's put it like this. Remember what Peter and John were saying was that Jesus is alive. What they were teaching everybody was that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Now, I am inclined to think that when the people sat there in the courtroom and watched these men facing these sophisticated scholars, giving their straightforward answers right out boldly to them, you know what I think they were impressed by? They were impressed by the fact that those men were talking like eyewitnesses. And when you think of them that they had been with Jesus, let's put it this way, that they had been with Jesus since the resurrection. They had been with Jesus since he was raised from the dead. These men knew. You know, if a man's been there, actually knows because he's actually seen it, there's something to his talk. There's a ring in the very way in which he puts it. You can't escape it. It's like some man that there might be some discussion whether or not the water's cold, and here's a man just had his hands in it, or maybe he fell in it, or whatever it'd be, and someone say, well, that looks cold, and he'd say, it is cold. And, you know, you can just tell from the way he says it that he's been there, and he knows that it is. And that's the way it was with Peter and John. The way they talked, even the outsiders sitting there listening to them, said, I declare, those fellows know what they're talking about. They've really been there. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Isn't that wonderful? You see, they had the evidence. They were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ healed the man. There stood the man. They were saying that God Almighty would bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the changing of people's hearts. There he was. I often think with reference to our Christian gospel, and I wonder for those of you who are hearing my words, have you got in your community some person who has been actually changed by the gospel? Do you have an outstanding convert to the Christian gospel? I hope you have. I hope every one of you knows somebody who was addicted to some form of, we'll say, appetite of some sort. Perhaps somebody was addicted to drink. Maybe somebody who had a very careless and worldly life, an ungodly life, and was transformed. I hope your family, maybe your family's got someone in it who has had a real change of heart. Or maybe you know in the community of someone who used to live a wild and wicked life who has been transformed into a godly and even saintly person. That gives a tremendous boost to the gospel. I tell you right now, when you and I talk about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk and talk and talk, and we never have any one person to show as an example of before and after. This is what he was like before. This is what he was like after. It's pretty hard to make it seem real. But when you've got an actual case of somebody who was opposed to the gospel and who paid no attention to it, just laughed at the things of God, and who has been changed into a godly, believing, and kind, and humble, and meek person by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just got power. And this lame man being healed, standing there, the critics could say nothing against it. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our testimony. Add thy blessing in the churches where we go and the churches where we live, that the message that we give out may have strength and power. We pray thy blessing that upon the teaching of the gospel, that souls may be saved, and that they may give their testimony in the community where they live, that people may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, we ask it. Amen.